Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you from the Saturday and Sunday Danville Commercial News for March 22nd and 23rd of 2025. We'll start today on the front page and with the headline of Super Fast Joe Continues to Deliver. In every game during the NJCAA Division II tournament, a fan will experience the passing out of 50-50 tickets. But there has been one ticket worker in the past few years that has been the fastest. During the tournament, Joe Rich becomes Super Fast Joe, and the stands of the Mary Miller Center become his place to shine in giving out the most tickets, including the winning 50-50 ticket for the whole tournament. "I've been helping with this tournament for a long time," Rich said. "I've been selling tickets for 5 years and sold the winning ticket in the last 4 years, and it stayed in Danville. I got my nickname Super Fast Joe for a reason." NJCAA tournament director Brian Henskin's wife makes the shirt Rich wears during the tournament, and I sell the most tickets. Rich started in the tournament a year or so before helping clean the center before he got an opportunity to sell 50-50 tickets. "I was originally asked to do the 50-50 tickets when a person didn't want to do it," Rich said. "I was iffy about it, but I've enjoyed doing it every year. I get tickets early before the tournament, and I'm probably going to be the top ticket seller in the tournament again." Rich still helps out cleaning for the crew, but his main focus is selling tickets and meeting up with the fans of the teams that come from across the country to watch tournament games. "It's good to meet people in other states because you get a perspective of what their culture is and how good their basketball teams are," Rich said. "There's only been one national champion that was undefeated, South Suburban College, but there is one this year named Pima that's 33-0 and blew out their competition." Outside the tournament, Rich participates in the Danville Special Olympics team and has had great success. "I do this stuff for Special Olympics of Central Illinois. I've been doing that my whole life," Rich said. "I moved here from Chicago. In my first year, I won championships in track, baseball, and bowling." He also works at Lincoln Lanes and is a top bowler. "I work at Lincoln Lanes and I try to get the teams to come out to the alley to bowl," Rich said. "I have a couple of 300 games and my team that bowls on Fridays won the championship. Last year, I had a few teams come over, and this year, not as much because I really hadn't advertised it. Oakland Community College, who played in the play-in game, agreed to go bowling so far." The winning 50-50 ticket will be announced tonight as the tournament comes to a finish. In the last few years, the winning ticket is announced, and Rich's photo is shown as the winning ticket distributor. He says he likes that, not because of anything personal. It's about how much he loves Danville Area Community College and the tournament. "It goes to help the college. The winner last year won it on the last day of the tournament, but put it in his daughter's name and he donated half of it. It helps to host the tournament," Rich said. "I would just ask them if they would like to buy a ticket because it helps to host the tournament. I also was able to sell tickets in Westville and there will be people who will get more. I go everywhere to help out." As we have in the past several weeks, we've been looking at local election folks that are running. And today the headline is Local Election Q&A, Danville Township Trustees. Learn more about candidates Tara Otter, Joe Smiley, and Chuck Walls. As part of this year's local election coverage, the Commercial News is running a series of question and answer stories, giving each candidate a chance to share their vision for their community so voters can make a more informed decision when they head to the polls. Today, we learn more about three candidates running for a trustee seat in Danville Township, Tara Otter, Joe Smiley, and Chuck Walls. Candidates Donna Mascari and Mike Smiley could not be reached for comment, and candidate Gerald Block passed away late last year, but it was too late to remove his name from the ballots, according to the Vermilion County Clerk's Office. Candidates were limited to three sentences each in their answers. How will you engage with your constituents if elected? Tara Otter. I will be available through many avenues, whether it be by telephone, email, social media, or my attendance at many area community activities and at meetings. It's important to be approachable and available. The township government is the most grassroots form of government and should be accessible to all. Joe Smiley. I will be available and open-minded to all of Danville Township constituents' ideas brought to our board. I will also make sure I'm listening to the community's needs and working within our budget to be of service. Chuck Walls. I have an open door policy when it comes to my constituents. I'm readily available by phone call, text message, Facebook Messenger, email, or through the township office. I want to hear what they have to say and I want to help. What's the biggest issue facing Danville Township? Otter, the biggest issue is probably focusing on our outreach through current programs like the senior transportation, food pantry, and assistance programs, and continuing excellent road maintenance. Smiley, balancing budgets, providing services, and sharing community opportunities with the public. Walls, one of the biggest issues in Danville Township is blight. Abandoned properties or properties in disrepair. I would love to see a plan put into place to get these properties cleaned up for their neighbors and hold the landowners accountable. Why are you the best option for Township Trustee? Otter. I've been involved in numerous boards and committees throughout the area, including Danville Township Deputy Clerk, Vermilion County War Museum, the Vermilion County Board, the Palmer Area Arena Board, Lynch Fire Department, and Danville Youth Hockey. I know it's important to be actively involved in your community to make a difference. Smiley, I worked at Danville Town Center for over 20 years and currently work for the Danville Public Commissions Department at the Public Safety Building. I'm eager to become more involved and put my experience and connections to good use. Walls, I'm a lifelong Vermilion County resident and a Danville Township resident for the past 25 years. I've been in the trenches already as a Danville Township Trustee for the past several years. I'm proud of the work I've done, but there's still more to do, and I feel I can get it done. Continuing with our community news on the front page, Westville Firefighters Association holding $5,000 fund drive. Funds will help supply necessary safety equipment. This is a staff report. It costs more than $5,600 to protect a firefighter from heat and fire, and that's only the cost of a helmet, hood, coat, gloves, pants, boots, and a flashlight. It costs another $12,000 to supply them with life-saving equipment, like a thermal imaging camera used to see through smoke and walls to find trapped people and pets as well as hot spots, and a self-contained breathing apparatus. That's one reason the Westville Firefighters Association is seeking the community's help through a $5,000 special fund drive to help support the volunteer fire crew at the Westville Area Fire Protection District. WFA is asking residents to donate at least $35 to the drive. As a special thank you, each family making a donation will have their picture taken by a professional photographer Sunday, April 13th. Donors will be gifted an 8x10 portrait studio portrait. Constituents in Westville voted to give the fire department the funds necessary to expand and renovate the firehouse in the November 24 election. The work on the newly expanded firehouse will be paid for by a property tax increase for the residents of Westville. Some local businesses have also held food drives to help support the work of the volunteer fire crew. Donations can be made by mailing cash or checks to the Westville Firefighters Association at 119 West William Street in Westville. Checks should be made out to the Westville Firefighters Association. Those with questions should contact the fire department at their non-emergency number 217-267-7360. Our final article on the front page today, Jacqueline Lacey Continues to Make Strides in and Out of the Courtroom, by Amy Graham McCarty at the Danville News. Jacqueline Lacey is proof that if you work hard enough, anything is possible. The Vermilion County State's Attorney is honest about her failures. A college professor once told her she would never be an attorney, and she failed the bar exam on her first attempt. But she didn't let any of that stop her from becoming the first attorney in her family or the first woman to serve 3 terms in her position as state's attorney in the county. I want to be a role model for young women, Lacey said from her office in the Vermilion County Courthouse. We learn more from our failures than our successes. We need to press on. If you work hard enough, anything is possible. Lacey came to the state's attorney's office by chance. She started her career in DuPage County as an assistant public defender. She then entered private practice for 18 months. I learned a lot about what I didn't want to do, she said. In 2010, she was appointed to public defender. I hit the ground running, she said, in 2015, ran for state's attorney. There were only 5 female state's attorneys in central Illinois at the time. Lacey won the election, and in 2016, she began her role as the first elected state's attorney in Vermilion County. A lot of people thought I could not get elected, she said, but I had a lot of great support in our community. One of her primary goals for the office was to increase communication with the public and the media, as well as create a robust victims advocacy program. Initially, we only had 2 victim advocates in the entire office, and now we've doubled that, Lacey said. We received a Victims of Crime Area grant. Now we have 4 full-time paid victim advocates, and Lucy Overlander fills the gaps. Lucy Overlander is the public information officer for the state's attorney's office. She works with Lacey to increase communication and also serves as a community affairs liaison and a victim advocate as needed. The office helps victims file orders of protection, even if their case does not get charged criminally. "We want to make sure victims know they have a voice," Lacey said. "Victims have rights." Each year, Lacey's office has a golf outing to raise funds to assist victims. The money is used to help pay for emergency necessities and travel when victims of their families need to attend trial. Safety Act. Recent changes in the law have made Lacey fight even harder for victims' rights. In January 2021, Governor J.B. Pritzker signed into law the Illinois Safety Accountability Fairness and Equity Today, the SAFETY Act. The act implements sweeping reform impacting many aspects of the criminal justice system, including pre-arrest diversion, policing, pretrial, sentencing, and corrections. The act covers three areas of criminal justice reform: policing, pretrial, and corrections, that's jails and prisons, according to the Illinois Justice Information Authority. The portion of the Safety Act that affects victims and criminal cases is pretrial fairness, Lacey said. "It concerns me because I want to make sure we're protecting domestic violence victims and doing our best to make sure they are protected." Under the Safety Act, defendants can call victims to testify at their detention hearing, she said. "I've seen situations where victims are being called to the stand by the defendant and then recant their story and the defendant is released. Victims are being re-victimized." Lacey said the Safety Act is perpetuating the circle of violence. "Instead of stopping the circle of violence, we're participating in it, and that makes me really angry," Lacey said. Knowing she had to do something, Lacey took up the fight once again on behalf of victims around the state. She sued the Attorney General. "I fought with others to make it unconstitutional," she said. "It fell on deaf ears." No cash bail. Also part of the Safety Act was the undoing of cash bonds. In July 2023, the Illinois Supreme Court declared the legislation ending cash bail constitutional. As of September 18, 2023, Illinois courts stopped using a cash bail system. Instead, they use a pretrial release system as allowed by the Safety Act. Pretrial release is an alternative to the traditional cash bail system. Under the pretrial release system, defendants may be released while they wait for their trial without needing to arrange for cash bail, according to the Illinois Legal Aid. If arrested, defendants will have the opportunity to appear before the judge. The judge will then decide if the individual being charged can be placed on pretrial release until the case is resolved. Jail populations are the same or higher than when no cash bond was started, Lacey said. "A lot of people that are not detainable are repeat offenders. They continue to reoffend, and some within 24 hours of their release. We have a different population in custody than we used to." Lacey attributes the increase in individuals reoffending to the institution of no cash bail. "They have no skin in the game. There's no incentive to stay out of trouble and not to come back to court," she said. "Victims suffer. Defendants have no accountability for the situation." "We've had cases where offenders reconnect with their victims, which is unfortunate, especially in domestic violence situations." In all, Lacey said pretrial fairness under the Safety Act has not been a deterrent for offenders. "Seeing our victims safe and taken care of has to be our highest priority," she said. Going to court. For Lacey and her staff, the key to trying cases is being able to resolve them with a conviction. "It's important when we charge someone that we have a likelihood of conviction and a proof beyond a reasonable doubt," she said. "I file cases with the court that I know we can prove and see them through to a plea and or trial. It's a process and procedure, and we're looking at it at every little thing." Violence in the city has been at an all-time high. "There was an uptick in violence in 2018, Lacey said. "We had lots of murders in Danville then. From 2023 to 2024, we resolved 11 murder cases in just a year." With 9 assistant state's attorneys, Lacey said it's helpful to be able to rely on the Attorney General's office as well. We have used the Attorney General's office for trial assistance," she said. "This is something that is available to every county in Illinois. The taxpayers have already paid for it, so why not use it?" The Attorney General's office is used when there is a conflict of interest in the Vermilion County State's Attorney Office or when the caseload exceeds the resources locally. Child Advocacy Center. A second resource Lacey has established during her time in office is the Child Advocacy Center. Lacey and others worked during the pandemic to establish the center, which provides a place for children to be interviewed and assisted when they're part of a trial. "We were one of 4 counties in the state that did not have a child advocacy center at the time," she said. "It has become a very successful center. Staff at the center assist law enforcement, the Division of Children and Family Services, prosecutors, and other service providers. They are trained to do forensic interviews. The center also has a comfort dog to help children feel at ease. The Child Advocacy Center is more inviting for kids to come in and tell their story, she said. We forget how victims feel and what effect having to go to the police station can have on them, especially children. The Child Advocacy Center was funded through the VOCA and DCFS grants and donations. The center is a 501(c)(3) organization. We've had great success with it and have been able to utilize it in trial, she said. It's another opportunity for victims to be supported. Victim support. In addition to the golf outing, Lacey's office also hosts a victim assistance supply drive each year. During the drive, they collect hygiene products, pillows, sheets, toothbrushes, socks, and more to provide to victims who often leave their homes with nothing. The annual golf outing planned by Lacey's office raised over $10,000 last year to be used to assist victims. Money from the outing is used to pay for travel for victims to be able to come to court and provide emergency shelter and food for victims in need. I have a great staff, Lacey said, of those that work in her department. They go above and beyond helping victims. They're amazing and come in every day and do some pretty difficult stuff. They work hard under difficult conditions. Human trafficking. Recently, Lacey and her staff partnered with Illinois State Police on a human trafficking undercover operation. The group worked out of a local hotel. Undercover agents posing as young girls established to meet with adult men. At the end of the operation, four men were arrested, two of them from Vermilion County. All four men pleaded guilty. It was pretty intense, Lacey said of the operation. In the end, it was successful. We prevented a true victim from being harmed because we were able to use undercover officers. Having even one sexual predator out there preying on these young victims is too many. Elder abuse. Lacey's office is also working to combat elder abuse in the area. We're working with CRIS Healthy Aging under a grant they received to prevent abuse of seniors, she said. We're working to train people how to better investigate and prosecute people for senior abuse. Lacey said much of what her office does is on the back end of the crime, though her office is working hard to make the community aware and find ways to prevent crime. We're trying to participate in as much as we can to be sure we do our part to prevent crime and prosecute it when it comes to our office, she said. Being a woman state's attorney is not easy, but having support is crucial to Lacey's success. I have a great husband at home, and he's very supportive of me, she said, and having women along the way to encourage me has been key. Her success in the office and in the courtroom have proven what Lacey believes. If you work hard enough, you can accomplish anything. And to the professor who told you she would never make it as an attorney, this victory goes to Lacey. Before returning to some other local events, we're at the midpoint of our reading together today, and let's take a time to set aside to read the death notices. These obituaries were received by 5 p.m. on the 21st. Danville, Mary Lou Davis, age 90, passed away at 10:10 a.m. on Thursday, March 20th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Monday, March 4th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. The service is at 11 a.m. on Monday, March 24th at the funeral home with Pastor Ryan Harris officiating. Mary Lou's burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park. In Vetersburg, Indiana, Janice Ann Nisi Hendrickson, age 80, of Vetersburg, went home to be with her Jesus at 5:57 p.m. on Tuesday, March 18th. The memorial service will be at 4 p.m. Monday, March 24th at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg. Visitation is from 3 to 4 p.m., and remember that is Eastern Daylight Time. Returning to community briefs, Covington plans Home and Business Expo. The third annual Home and Business Expo, sponsored by the Covington Business Association, will be held on Saturday, March 29th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Fountain County Fairgrounds on U.S. Highway 136, Vetersburg, Indiana. More than 50 vendors will be on site to showcase their products and services. Food will be available for purchase from both Jackie's Eats and Treats and the local restaurant. There are a few vendor spots still available. Email bsmith9@farmersagent.com to have a form emailed to you. Hoopston Library hosts Garden Workshop. The Hoopston Public Library welcomes Mary Dickinson from the University of Illinois Ford Iroquois Master Gardeners at 1:30 p.m. on March 31st for a workshop on garden design and planting. There's still time to sign up for the workshop. Contact the library at 217-283-6711 to register. Those that pre-register will be entered to win a $10 gift card from Treasured Roots. Walk-ins are welcome to attend the workshop, and the library is located at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston. A gospel sing is planned at Moray Chapel, but I do see that as I read this that we have missed it all. I hope those of you that were great singers got to go out and hear. Westville Library plans spring fun. The Westville Public Library will have a chick-themed preschool program on April 2nd at 10 a.m. at the library at 233 South State Street in Westville. Wednesday afternoon at the movies will meet on April 2nd at 2 p.m., and the library will show Arthur the King starring Mark Wahlberg. U of I Extension's Meal Planning, Grocery Shopping, and Goal Setting program will take place April 28th at 11:30 a.m. Instruction, ideas, and fun are expected at this free program, and those attending will make stir fry while learning about healthy cooking. Call 217-267-3170 to reserve your spot before April 22nd. The Westville Library will also be a drop-off site for hurricane relief for victims from North Carolina. And March 1st through the 31st, the library will have an escape room. On March 1st through the 31st, the library will have an escape room giveaway. Friends of the Westville Library, along with Adventure Arcade Escape Rooms, are giving away 4 tickets to an escape room experience. Simply check out an item at Westville Library during March to be entered into a drawing for a chance to win. And our last community announcement, fish fry planned. The Kingman Fire Department is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat Jonah fish fry, I love it, on Saturday, April 5th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the fire station at 16 East Vine Street, Kingman, Indiana. The meal includes fish, baked beans, slaw, applesauce, and drinks. The cost is $15 a person, and pie can be purchased for dessert at $3 per piece. Lots going on in our communities. Turning our attention to downtown Danville, the Garden at 107 to open in downtown Danville. Vermilion River Beer Company, in partnership with the owners of the adjacent lot, which for years has acted as an outdoor space for the bar, have a plan for redevelopment of the space this spring in anticipation of hosting what will be a rebrand summer concert series. The Garden at 107 is the working title given to the planned renovation of the vacant lot adjacent to Vermilion River Beer Company at 103 North Vermilion Street. The lot is currently leased to Vermilion River Beer Company to provide outdoor seating and entertainment. The renovations are long overdue, owner and partner Peter Blackman said. It was never truly developed after the building fire and subsequent demolition. Pedestrian traffic over the years has worn it down pretty well, and the space becomes almost unusable when wet. The project will finally address that. The Garden at 107 will aspire to be much more organic in design, integrating trees and flowers into the green space. Plans are to create a venue that will double overflow and outdoor seating for VRBC and special events, including private rentals, a news release states. As part of the redevelopment plan, Covington-based restaurant The Local has officially agreed to be VRBC's full-time food partner, keeping regular hours, opening for special events, and coordinating secondary food vendors when needed. We are excited to bring The Local to Danville and partner with VRBC, The Local's owner Stephanie Lober said. In addition, the long-running downtown summer concert series, which has been at Temple Plaza for the past several years, will be resurrected in the new space in lieu of being canceled. The series was set to be canceled in 2023, but was taken up by Vermilion River Beer Company with the help of sponsors. The new series, to be officially named later, will be collaborating with potential partners over the next few weeks. Toyota of Danville has already signed on as a presenting sponsor. Oh boy, here's one for you. A Mario-themed 5K run planned for downtown Danville. Get ready to run, jump, and power up for the First Friday's 5K Super Run and Walk on April 4th. This Mario-themed race promises fun for all ages with exciting challenges, costumes, and the chance to win cash prizes and medals. Registration is now open at www.firstfridaysdanville.com. The cost to participate is $10, with kids under 5 participating for free. The day of the event registration opens at 5 p.m. with the race kicking off at 6. Official 5K Super Run t-shirts are for sale for $15. Before the race begins, getting warmed up with fun activities and show off your Mario spirit in the costume contest, cheerful power-up teams will be lining the route to keep participants energized as they race through downtown Danville. Food trucks will be available at the event. Those not wishing to race can grab friends and be part of a power-up team to keep the support and energy alive along the route. Sign up at www.firstfridaysdanville.com. For the safety of the participants, roads will be closed from 5:30 to 8 p.m. on April 4th. Refrain from moving barricades and plan an alternative route for travel during these times. For questions or concerns, please contact Community Relations Coordinator Kayla Bryant at cbryant@cityofdanville.org. That sounds like fun. Food distributions planned for families in need. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank is distributing food to area families facing food insecurity. The first distribution will be held at Mark Denman Elementary School at 930 Colfax Street in Danville on April 5th from 9:30 to 10:30 and is open to residents in Vermilion County. Those attending are asked to bring boxes or bags to transport food. The distribution is part of the Food Bank's Food Mobile Program, a system of mobile food pantries designed to help bring nutritious food to rural or underserved areas. The Food Mobile will also travel through Southern Vermilion County on April 22nd and Northern Vermilion County on April 28th, with distribution sites and times for each town listed at eifoodbank.org/help/mobile.html. Updates regarding future food distributions and income eligibility can be found on the Food Bank's website at eiffoodbank.org. Well, this has been a basketball-themed week with both the NCAA tournament and the NJCAA Division II national tournament going on simultaneously. It's been exciting for Parkland as Parkland upset Pima to reach the title game, and much going on with Big Ten success in the NCAA tournament. And even with all of that going on, let's go ahead and just turn our attention, though, to our local players that make the IBCA team. Local boys and girls basketball players were mentioned for their play during the season in the 2025 IBCA All-State teams this week. In Class 2A boys, Bismarck Henning and Rossville Alvin's Keeson Peoples was named to the All-State second team, while teammate Micah Stanford was named special mention. In Class 3A boys, Danville's Javon Robinson was named as a special mention, while Armstrong Potomac's James Wazinga was named to the Class 1A boys' third team. In Class 1A girls, Salt Fork's Alexa Jamison was named to the second team. These awards are determined by the Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, with the Illinois Press weighing in on all state teams next week. In prep baseball, it's baseball season. I guess that means spring is here. BHRA 15 over Danville 0, Westville 15, Charleston 5, Salt Fork 9, GEORF 0, Casey Westville 12, Oakwood 2, Clifton Central 6, Hoopston Area 4. In prep softball, Danville 9, BHRA 2, Westville 14, Muhammad Seymour 6, Georgetown RF 16, Heritage 7, Clifton Central 10, Hoopston Area 0. And in college baseball, Dak splits with John Wood. And the Dashers finally get a win in FPHL hockey. So much going on locally. Let's take a look at Monday's schedule. We've had a lot of rain in the area, so let's hope that Monday provides a day where these games can actually get off. In prep baseball, Armstrong Potomac will be at Blue Ridge at 4:30, Georgetown Ridge Farm at Heritage. All these games are at 4:30. Hoopston area at Champaign Central, Muhammad Seymour at Danville, Tolono Unity at Oakwood, and Westville at Paris. In prep girls soccer, Danville will be at Mount Zion at 4:30. In prep softball, Armstrong Potomac will be at Blue Ridge at 4:30, Georgetown Ridge Farm at Tri-County, Heritage at Westville, and St. Joe Ogden at Oakwood Schlarman, again all at 4:30. In boys prep track, Armstrong Potomac, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, Champaign Academy, Heritage, and St. Anne will be at Hoopston area. And in prep girls track, Armstrong Potomac, Bismarck, Henning, Rossville, Alvin, Champaign Academy, Heritage, and St. Anne will be at Hoopston area, both again at 4:30 p.m. much going on in our communities. I hope you've enjoyed this time with me. We will get together again the same time next week. I hope you all have a great week. This has been Terry Burdick reading the commercial news from Vermilion County.